I didn't even realize I was wasting $415 a month until I downloaded Rocket Money. I thought I had my finances under control until the app laid out all my spending and categorized it for me. Takeout, shopping, and unused subscriptions were quietly draining my account. And as a result, my savings took a back seat. But Rocket Money doesn't just tell you what you're wasting money on. It takes action to save you money. First, the app looks at your income and monthly expenses and calculates how much you can safely spend each day to stay under budget. Rocket Money also finds and cancels unwanted subscriptions for you and even negotiates better rates on your bills so you have more money in your pocket. On average, Rocket Money members can save up to $740 a year when using all the app's premium features. Users love the app with over 186,000 five-star ratings. It's time to simplify your finances and take control of your money. Go to rocketmoney.com/cancel to get started. That's rocketmoney.com/cancel. rocketmoney.com/cancel.
You found The Bench on ESPN 97.5 and 92.5. Now coming to you live from the Veritex Community Bank Studios, here's John Granato and Lance Zierlein.
Only kinda. It's actually Lance Zierlein and Eric Layden, my old buddy from here in the streets of the mean streets of Houston via Kincaid. And he is actually in La Jolla. He's waking up early. This is an early show for him. I appreciate him doing that. And we got a lot to get to. What's up, my old buddy? How we doing? Uh-oh.
I thought we had him.
Okay. Check on that again. Here, check on that again. Got it? Okay. We'll try to see if we can get Eric connected here in just a second. A little technical glitch. We had a connection before. See if you can get that. See if you can get that and bring him in. Eric, you there?
I'm here. Can
All
you hear
right.
me now?
Noise!
All right. Is it as silky smooth for you as it is for me?
Oh, man. Buttery, soft, and smooth, and delicious.
Okay, good.
You're
good.
Here. All right, before we even get started on anything sports-related, I want to get into so much, and then you've got a story about a skier. That's unfortunate. We got 2 hours to do, so we got a lot of time to get through all
this
stuff.
Yeah.
I want to introduce people to you. For those who don't know, Eric Layden does the podcast with me when we do it called Off Script, which is easily the best podcast in the country. He has thrown out the first pitch at Astros game. He has taken the first shot at Rockets game. He grew up a Houston sports fan. No Oilers anymore, obviously. Couldn't really get into the Texans, which is understandable. Still a huge Astros fan. So we got a lot to talk about from an Astros standpoint, a baseball standpoint. You became a bandwagon Rams fan once they got good. You kind of switched your allegiance from being a hardcore Texans fan to a Rams fan. And you are also on the side part-time. Your side hustle is acting. So beside being a professional sports fan, your recent side hustle was doing Ozark Season 4. And a lot of compliments for you on that one. A dark turn for you. You are a... You're a chef who's a bit of a bad boy. You're one of the bad boy chefs in the business.
Yeah. Yeah. You know, I threw on the tats. I started to play with some illicit drugs there. My drug of choice was meth.
Yeah.
You know, but listen, when Ruth rolls into your restaurant, she can be pretty convincing. So, you know, Ruth presented her product as farm to table, or as Darlene said, farm to needle. And let me tell you, it hit different. It was nice.
It was nice. Yeah. Yeah, it's not.
Lance, have you done
heroin?
Have you snorted meth?
No, I have never snorted.
Okay.
No, I've never snorted it.
Right.
Have
a lot
I
of people just inject it?
No, I don't think I've been in the meth game up to this point.
Okay.
I mean, let me know. What's the deal? How is it?
I mean, it's pretty nice, you know,
yeah.
Especially when what you're really snorting is powdered milk. I can give you some of the side effects there. Queasiness, headache, nausea, and then followed by diarrhea, depending on if you're lactose intolerant.
So hold on a second. Okay, so how often does this happen? People always wonder when people have to pretend to smoke weed, do coke, whatever. There's actually powdered milk.
Powdered milk is what we used for the meth, and I've used that for cocaine too. When I had to snort some cocaine on a show called Shooter, we also used powdered milk. And unfortunately for Julia, Julia is lactose intolerant, so it hit a little different for Julia.
She still had to do it.
Well, I don't think that was information that they told her that it was powdered milk, because she hadn't done it on the show before, and she hadn't let them know that she was lactose intolerant. So, yeah, we didn't actually finish that scene, that restaurant scene.
Hold on, nut squishers, I got to go crap. Did she hit you with one of those?
No, we were in the middle of one of the takes, and she was pretty peaked, and she was reacting a little slowly, and I said, you okay? And she was like, I don't feel so good. I said, all right. And so she went back to her trailer for a little bit. And then when we talked to the props people and they told us it was powdered milk, we put, you know, two and two together. So it was a rough night for her. And she was eating my scallops all night, you know, because every take I bring a nice, beautiful plate of scallops. And so, as you can imagine, powdered milk and scallops, not the way, Chris Shepherd or, you know, one of your boys would do it.
Would she LeShane. So hold on a second. So did she eat scallops? Did you have someone there cooking scallops, or would it just be on the plate? But she was actually eating bites of scallops throughout the cuts and scenes?
Yeah. Yeah. So especially with the camera on her, she has to eat the food. And so we had the restaurant that we were shooting at, which is a really great restaurant. They were preparing the meals that I was bringing out to her. So she was getting, you know, nice, beautiful plate of seared scallops with a little kind of pesto drizzle on there. It was nice.
So out of curiosity, now my mind's going a few different directions. Did you get to spend? I know it's very strange for me to go off the track, but did you hang out and talk to any of the chefs and try to get your food game up at all?
No.
So what are you doing? That was in the middle of COVID, by the way, when y'all were doing that, right? When did you film that?
Yeah, but I mean, you watched my turn on Ozark. I mean, there wasn't a lot of cooking. So
no.
It wasn't like I needed to know how a chef thinks. I mean, I threw on some tattoos. I looked hot and I sat down and tried to pick up a chick and did some meth. I mean, that's as far as you need to go with a chef. You know what I mean?
Throw some tattoos on, look hot, pick up a chick.
Yeah. All right, you know chefs. I mean, does that sound chef-like?
You know, here's what chefs do. They've got tats. They drink too much. They stay up super, super late, and then they do it all over again the next day.
Yeah, that's it.
And they do it all over again.
I mean, you've been to restaurants. I know we've done it together where, you know, that scene with Ruth and I, the restaurant had closed, but I came out with a bottle of wine and some food. I mean, that exact situation minus us trying to give LeShane meth is the exact way that we went to LeShane's restaurant. You know, the restaurant closes, all the bartenders and servers are having some drinks. You and I and Ryan sit down, we eat, we talk. So, I mean, you know, that's a pretty normal situation there.
It is very normal. So you, ever since you did, this is Eric Layden. He's going to be co-hosting with me for the next 2 hours. We'll get to your sports stuff, but I really want to know about Ozark season 4. He was the chef in Ozark season 4. He's done a lot of other things, but So from the standpoint of recognition, that's a big show. That's a big deal. Ozark season 4 is a really big deal. Where does it rate on the other shows that you've done, do you think? Do you have a scale of where that falls for you in terms of recognition from people?
Well, recognition obviously right now is high because the show is on right now. You know, I was in line for a restaurant the other day, and something that hasn't happened to me before. I oftentimes, just because of the nature of I think my face, and I switch characters a lot. You know, I go from, you know, white collar, nerdy mission control operator to tatted up, you know, chef to redneck to cowboy to everything else. So people also, like, I'll be in the grocery store or something and people kind of look at me. You know, I had a guy come to the house the other day to fix my garage. He walked in, he said, oh, wait, I've been here before. We've worked together, right? We've worked together? No, we haven't worked together. So I get a lot of that. But what I got the other day when I was standing in line at a restaurant was this girl was looking at me and she goes, I should know you. And I said, I don't know, maybe. And she said, you're a celebrity chef. I know you. I've seen you on a cooking show. And I said,
there's
no,
the
I'm not a celebrity.
I
said, it's not a celebrity chef, but you're
I
close.
I should know
you're
you.
Close.
Have we done meth together?
And what kills my wife is I don't say anything, you know. So I let her go to the table and stew. And then I was on my way out of the restaurant, and she stops me. She goes, I know who you are. I said, you do? She said, you're Eric Laden. You were on Ozark. And I said, yeah, that's right.
She stewed
on it for a little bit.
Why do you do that to people? They just let them off the hook. There's nothing worse than that deja vu feeling. Why do you keep people on the hook like that?
Oh, do you want me to tell you what's worse?
Yeah.
I'm going to tell you exactly what's worse and why I don't do it.
Oh,
because let's just run this scenario, okay? Right. Eric Laden, okay? And you go ahead and
celebrity
try to
let
me
chef
off the hook,
and
right?
Hot
no, you're
meth
Eric Laden.
Actor.
You're Eric Laden, the actor.
Uh-huh.
And we're in line at the grocery store, and we've got, you know, a little bit of time, so we're sitting there, and I look at you and I say, I'm sorry to bother you, but are you by chance from Brooklyn, New York?
No.
No? Okay. I mean, are you sure? Because I feel like, have we worked together before?
No. We've never.
Oh, wow.
Do you follow the NFL draft?
No.
Okay. No. So listen, go to NFL.com. My newest mock draft is out. I'm actually a draft analyst. Here's my phone number. Here's my Insta. If you want to follow my journey, I would love it so much. Do you want a picture?
So you've been out of the improv game. What I really wanted you to do is play the role of Eric Laden, not Lance Zierlein.
Oh,
but that's okay. But the point is why I don't do it, okay, is because what happens is I will say, no, I'm actually an actor. And they go, no, that's not it.
Do they really?
Or they'll go, oh, really? Oh, my gosh. Okay, what have you been on? And then I'm in the grocery store line reading off my IMDb page and feel like a real a-hole, you know, because nobody wants to do that.
And that's the worst.
Or I'll say, have you seen Ozark? Oh, no, I don't watch it. It's too dark. No. Did you see The Right Stuff?
No.
No. What is that on? It was on Disney Plus.
Oh,
okay. So how do you get Disney Plus? Because I've tried it and I'm like, no, I'm not the genius bar. Okay, this started because you recognize me, okay? So if you can't place it, that's on you.
Oh, I know, Barstars. That's where I saw you.
Dude, that would be epic. If somebody recognized me from Barstars, that would make my day.
Somebody in the Twitch stream, SMU Sonny's like, LZ, you got to ask about the greatest actor in Hollywood today, John Berthel, Eric's co-star in Barstars from 2008. So trust me, our Twitch stream knows you for Barstars.
God, I mean, one of the most fun I've ever had. I was 24 in play. I never wore a shirt for the whole. You've seen a picture of me in Barstars, right, Lance?
Yeah, you were doing push-ups back then.
Oh, God, I was doing 500 crunchies a day. But yeah, but Bernthal's a good dude. Bernthal's a very good dude. Between he and a comic named Afion Crockett and I, we were absolute madmen for 3 weeks.
In real life or on the set?
Both.
Yeah.
Life was imitating art.
That's what I like. I like hearing those stories. All right, we're
The ones we had to research. We had to go to a lot of clubs.
Yeah, no. I mean, if you're a method actor, right, you've snorted baby powder before, powdered milk before. You probably got your chef game up a little bit. You probably got a real tattoo sleeve. I mean, you're that kind of committed to. You went and actually did Navy SEAL training. You did this monster hike that was a two-day hike whenever you were going to be in SEAL. What was the show called?
I did a show called Six.
Yeah, Six. Not SEAL Team Six, but just Six. You do, like, you've been an astronaut in real life for your multiple roles there. You went and worked for the LA Times when you were Scott Anderson and Bosch. I mean, you're a method actor. You do these things.
Mm-hmm. That's right. Yep.
When we come back to the sports side, Aaron Rodgers, speaking of drama, Aaron Rodgers was involved in a bit of drama. He's testing his hand at potentially being an actor, and he did so on his Insta page. So we'll get into what he did yesterday and whether or not it even makes any sense, whether or not he's just fooling people or if Aaron's about to give some bad, bad news when we come back. It's 8:15 here on the bench. Eric Laden, Lance Zierlein, keep it right here, ESPN 97.5. Time for me to tell you about my friends over at Maestro Dobell. Tyler, we got to do it. Oh, no, no, we got to do it on Thursday because you and I are both going to be out Friday. But the Añejo, I'm busting that out of the refrigerator. It's going to be cold, chilled. We're going to do our sipping tequila, and that's from Maestro Dobell. It is a delicious Añejo. This is a specific varietal that I'm talking about. They also have Reposados. They've got the silver, which is great for margaritas. Smoked silver, if you want a little different feel to it. The Cristalino, which is Reposado, Añejo, and I believe Añejo Extra, and they charcoal filter it and give it a completely distinct look and feel and taste and finish. No matter what the flavor profiles or the aromas are or the finishes you're looking for, there's so many different varietals from Maestro Dobell. 11 generations of tequila makers are bringing this to you. They are giving it their very best so that you can taste the difference. And if you're a tequila fan, or even if you're not, I suggest trying out Maestro Dobell. It is a high-quality tequila. It is great for sipping or for cocktails. And once you've had it, you will not go back to anything else. I promise you, you're going to love Maestro Dobell. Wherever fine liquors are sold, it's Maestro Dobell.
ESPN 97.5. Welcome back to The Bench with John Granato and Lance Erline on ESPN 97.5 and 92.5.
All right, Lance Erline with Eric Layton. You're listening to The Bench. Anything that you missed, if you missed Mike Meltzer talking about the Deshaun Watson case, Steve Rockford, assistant basketball coach for the Texas A&M Aggies, talking about the issue with Juwan Howard and Greg Gard, you can catch that, a coach's perspective of all of that. And also, you've got Dez. There's a big 24-hour Twitch stream that they're doing, Apollo Media guys from right here in Houston. And there's going to be some big-time Astros and athletes that are going to be on that one. So you might want to check that one out. Eric Layden is co-hosting with me for the next 2 hours from La Jolla. I appreciate you getting up early and doing that. So here's the deal. Number one, Aaron Rodgers. It sucks that Tom Brady retired, and there's some potential issues that we can get into with Tom Brady, too. Some things have come out since he retired, which makes it very, very interesting. But now, Aaron Rodgers posted a big Instagram post last night that created a big fuss. Now, he's been creating some fusses over the, you know, recently. But on this latest Instagram post, he basically thanked Shailene Woodley. Supposedly they split up, but he had an Instagram post that almost sounded like they weren't broken up, but he had a big post thanking her. And then he, in this Instagram post, he was very, very, he said, "Thank you for letting me chase after you, blah, 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 Shailene Woodley." Then he said, "To the men I got to share the quarterback room with every day, Matt LaFleur, Nathaniel Hackett, Luke Getsy, Jordan Love, and Kurt Benkert, you guys made every day so much fun, and I'm thankful for the daily laughs and stress relief you brought me every week of the year. Love you guys." Then he goes on and makes comments about his guy. I think it's the wife of Randall Cobb, and then Randall Cobb, he puts their Instagram handles in there. I don't know if you read this or not, Eric, but it felt like then he posted a picture of Devontae Adams and Randall Cobb, and then usually there's pictures of him in between those guys. They all stand together. He posted a picture with him not there standing between those guys. So a lot of people believe that this is his precursor to say that he is going to retire. And, of course, he does the Pat McAfee show today, so that thing's going to have more viewers than ever, anytime ever in history. First of all, did you see what Aaron Rodgers did on Instagram? And do you think this is just some kind of weird ploy, or do you think that he is definitely saying something?
No, I did see it. I'm looking at it right now. I mean, this to me is somebody – like, I see Aaron Rodgers on his sofa, and he was with friends the other night, and, you know, they were having drinks, and they were like, "Let's just see how frenzied we can get people. Watch this." And they – put this whole thing together. And when I was like, oh, dude. And also do one with like the two receivers, but you're not there. So it's like you vanished and you're not on the team anymore. This is all calculated. This is all him trying to see how much he can rile people up. It's all optics, right? I mean, this is not some foreshadowing of what he's actually going to do. I think literally that guy is sitting on his sofa like, let's just see how rattled we can get people.
It could be that. I know Greg Rosenthal from NFL Network, he said, gee, we've never seen Aaron Rodgers. Basically, he said, we've never seen Aaron Rodgers try to troll people before. He must 100% be serious about this. There is a chance that he was doing that. I think he's become irritated with the general public over the years. Plus, he's kind of snarky anyway. That's his personality in a way. But the idea that he's just jerking with, I mean, isn't that a lot to jerk with Packers fans after you did last year in the offseason? Isn't that a little much to be pulling at the heartstrings of Packers fans for a second straight year?
And that surprises you coming from him? I mean, what about that guy seems genuine, sincere, like
A, the hair, B, the mustache, C, the commercials with the Rodgers rate, all of that does.
I mean, I've been around enough celebrities to know that this is, to me, this is him absolutely just trolling the public, seeing what he can do on his Instagram feed, you know, firing people up. I don't think he cares at all. He knows that at the end of the day, no matter what he does today on February 22nd, if he rolls out of the tunnel in Lambeau with a jersey on that says Packers, it doesn't matter what he did in February 22nd.
That's true.
Packers fan is going to go, man, he trolled us back in February. I don't like him anymore. I mean, that's just not going to happen.
Do you think that there's a chance that he's doing this preemptively to kind of put the Green Bay Packers on notice that he's being serious about retiring if they don't trade him? See, I don't know that he said that behind
sure.
the scenes, but this may be a leverage mechanism.
Oh, I don't doubt that at all. I mean, I don't doubt that he, you know, is using this as a little bit of a ploy. You know, I think these guys use their social media because they have so much sway, right? I mean, you look at the QB in Arizona, right? Kyler Murray and taking all his stuff off. And I mean, people now are so attuned to what these guys do on these feeds that they're going to report about it. And so, I think there's a part of it that's leverage, but I don't think there's anything here. I mean, this doesn't seem sincere to me. I mean, sure, I'm sure he loves these people, but
it doesn't seem sincere. Thanking everybody and going in on Shailene Woodley that she's the greatest thing that ever happened to him and ride or die. And you didn't think that was sincere? Then you think he's a total fraud.
You know what's sincere?
What?
You think? Okay, let me ask you this. Do you think Aaron Rodgers has Shailene Woodley's cell phone?
What do you mean has it? Yeah. You mean the number?
Yeah, the number.
Yeah.
Okay, how about that text to Shailene?
No, dude, I'm totally with you. I'm totally with you on that, but it's the
same way.
Okay,
how about you call Randall Cobb and tell him?
Yeah. Oh, but this is also the society we live in.
I mean, I understand that, but then on the flip side, let's flip it to the audience. I got Mark Schlereth here replying oh man, well said, dude. Well said. Wish you well. Like, dude, Mark, what are you doing? You're saying this on Aaron's Instagram feed so people then click on your feed. I mean, this is all BS. I mean, this is all, it's crap.
First of all, can I point out that recently it was your birthday, wasn't it?
It was.
Do you know how I knew it was your birthday?
Because on Instagram.
Yeah, because people were tagging you, people who have your cell number, potentially, maybe some of them don't. They were out there, hey, Eric Layton, best friends for life, can't wait to see you, bud. They didn't text you. They made a big deal to post on Instagram. You know what I did?
And you know why I posted it?
I didn't do that. I'm just like, oh, cool, whatever.
Yeah, and you know what I did?
What?
I put it on Instagram.
You shared it.
So people would see it was my birthday. That's the only reason, okay? So let's just call it what it is, okay?
What
I wasn't quite vain enough to put a post up and be like, this is 43. Right. Or, hey, 43 trips around the sun. Here's what I'm doing today. I didn't do that. I just decided to, like, give props to my boys who posted pictures of me in stupid outfits. And instead of being like, oh, man, that's embarrassing. Oh, shucks. I just reposted them because I own the fact that I look silly in most of them.
Yeah, actually, that made it a little bit better, at least.
I did it. But I mean, the point is it was like, yeah, I mean, I at least am the first here to say that if I post a picture on Instagram, because I don't use Instagram I don't post pictures of my kids. Rarely post pictures of my wife unless it's ridiculous, like the one I posted on Valentine's Day.
She was smacking you on the butt?
I mean, Vegas circa 2006.
Yeah. Good old days.
I use Instagram. I'm like shameless to admit that it is purely for work. So you're either getting a picture of me on a job, on a set, looking the way I feel like I might want to have a photo on there to look. You're not learning anything about my life. If you follow me on Instagram and you think we're friends, we're not. If you follow me on Instagram and you think you know anything about me, you don't. Okay. And I like it that way. And I don't care. I am not looking for you to get to know me better because of Instagram.
All right. When we come back, we're going to ask Eric some questions. We're going to get to know Eric a little bit on the other side. Because this is radio is real life. Instagram is fake. Radio is where real life happens. 8:29 here on the bench. Time for me to tell you about SiteChat. Here's more real life. Here's real life for you. You've got a business, and you've been very good at your business, but you've got a competitor that's beating you. You've got a competitor that's taking some of the market share from you. Well, you know something that you can do, A, be better, but also B, if you are better, then let people know. Put together a website from SiteJab.com, a Houston-based company for over 2 decades in the business, and let them put the videos out there of what it is that you do, of who it is that you are, of the services that you offer. Put video integration on there. Get your brands and your logos set up properly. Get your social media ready to go. They can do all of these things. They can also, what they do is they use the analytics that they've learned over years and years to make sure that you have a website that is going to engage the viewers for a longer amount of time. The eyes are going to stay on there for a longer amount of time so that they are more likely to engage with your product, and you can turn those eyeballs into actual business leads, into some actual real money if you can, you know, close the deal. And the best way to do that is an interactive website that tells people exactly who it is that you are and what it is that you do, and SiteJab's helping you do that every single time out. Go to SiteJab.com, set up a free consultation right now. They can do it on Zoom or in person. SiteJab.com. That's SiteJab.com.
This is The Bench on ESPN 97.5. The conversation continues on The Bench on ESPN 97.5 and 92.5. Live from the Veritex Community Bank Studios, here's John Granato and Lance Zierlein.
All right, it's Lance and Eric Layden. We are going to be taking the rest of the way. And Keith Law, I didn't tell you this, Eric. I think you'll be pretty happy about this. Keith Law from is he with The Athletic now or still with ESPN? He's with The Athletic. You know, he handles a lot of baseball stuff, minor league stuff. He wrote an article about the 20 top prospects in the Houston Astros system. So we're going to talk to him at 9:30, get some Astros baseball going.
Love it.
If there
Love
is
it.
A season.
I'm excited to hear. There's going to be a season. They're going to drag this thing out as much as they can. There's too much money involved, right?
Will there be baseball in May?
Yes.
Okay. Good enough for me.
No.
As long as
I think
it's
going to be shortened. Spring is postponed. They'll tighten all that up. They'll get it going.
2 weeks. Do you think everything will be settled within 2 weeks?
Yes.
Okay. You're optimistic, but I think baseball knows they can't really afford to have a protracted work stoppage. And this isn't even about, like, the issues aren't even necessarily about length of contract, the amount that owners have to, you know, the owners trying to roll back contract amounts or roll back the way that they're are primarily structured. It's nothing like that. I don't feel like these are issues that the two sides can't get away from at some point. So I feel like there's not a lock up and show no movement type of concern here for any of the major items that they're arguing.
It feels like they're just battling back and forth over leverage. It's always the final five. You know, it's like when you get the contractor to your house and he gets almost everything done, and then you're just sitting around with doors with no knobs on them, waiting for him to come finish the last 5%. I mean, I feel like it's all like the little nitpicky stuff, and it's going to be the hardest to rattle through. But at the end of the day, nobody's leaving that bag of money on the table.
How about when you think you're going to sell your home, and then they come do an inspection, and all of a sudden all your hopes and dreams are dashed because you know you've got another 3 weeks of having to get stuff done around your house?
I've only sold one house, and it was the worst process I've ever
been in LA, through right?
in my life. Yeah, it was. I mean, I still have night terrors about that. I can't even talk about my real estate agents without getting angry.
They were that bad?
Oh.
What's it like selling a house in LA?
I just told you, it was brutal. I mean, it was super easy to sell it. I sold it in less than a day.
Yeah.
I mean, we got an offer. It was great. But we had really bad agents.
That's too bad. I feel for
the agents brought the buyer. You know, it was one of those. They were double dipping there.
All right. So I talked earlier to an assistant coach, buddy, who's a friend of mine, who's an assistant coach at Texas A&M. And he's a basketball coach, and he's been in the middle of, you know, one of the things he talked about is that this is a 24-hour-a-day, 7-day-a-week, 365 thing for basketball coaches. It's always, you've got recruiting, you've got, basically what he was saying is animosity builds up. There's pressure, there's stress, and animosity will build up between programs a lot of times. That's immediately what I took out of it when he started talking about the recruiting process. And you saw what happened with Juwan Howard and Greg Gard, coaches of Michigan and Wisconsin. I want to get your thoughts on, I'll just open it up. What do you think about the whole issue?
The moment I saw it, I thought he's done. I don't see a world in which you can keep him as the leader of your team.
Now he has been suspended. He is Juwan Howard.
He's been suspended for 5 games
for the rest of the regular season and fined $40,000. A pretty good chunk.
So, yeah, that's fine. I mean, let me ask you this. If the rest of the season was 11 games, was it going to be 11 games? Is it five because that's the rest of the season?
I think I think it's the rest of the season.
I guess I ask you this. Like, in the world we live in today, if Juwan Howard is white, is he getting fired?
I don't think so.
No.
I personally don't think
so. If Juwan Howard isn't an ex-NBA star?
No. Juwan has a major issue in that he had something similar happen with Mark Turgeon last year. This is the second, or was it last year or year before? This is now Juwan has had to apologize, and he had an apology, and I'll read it in a second. Juwan's big problem, the problem that some people are missing, is that this is not the first time he's gotten into it with other coaches and then subsequently apologize for his actions, and this is not the actions of a Michigan man. But I don't personally, I mean, I got a dad who's a coach, a brother who's a coach. I don't really care when coaches get into it. Like, sometimes coaches are going to get into it. Sometimes players will get into it. Managers, Dusty Baker will get into it with another manager. Like, we've seen that. We saw when A.J. Hinch got into it with a Rangers manager a couple of years ago. Dusty, they famously had him and Tony La Russa yelling at each other back in the day where they were Cardinals and Cubs, right?
Yeah, that of course, kind of but they weren't happens. Throwing punches.
That's the difference is I don't care about a little bit of a scrum or yelling, but it's the reaching out and putting hands on. And I'm not talking about grabbing someone's arm. I'm talking about physically trying to have a physically aggressive action. It's just, it is what it is. It was going to be met with a punishment. It was going to be met with a suspension. I think the 5 games is perfect for the Big Ten because it really is a deterrent now moving forward for other coaches in college basketball to say it's more than 2 games. I don't know how long it would have been if there were 11 games left. I do not think it would have been an 11-game suspension. I don't. And if Juwan had kept the fist balled up and landed a punch, I think he's fired. Actually, it was.
So you're saying that that what kept him from getting fired is the fact that he B slapped him. Can I say B on your air?
Yeah, you can. Yeah, say, okay. You can go the whole way if you want to. I don't care.
Okay, so the fact that he bitch slapped him, that kept him from getting fired.
He kind of face.
He kind of went for like a grab.
So it was called like Tyler. What did you had a pretty good definition of what it was yesterday?
I'm trying to remember what I said.
Aren't you the one that said he crumpled up the, or maybe it was just Dell.
Oh, like, yeah, it was Dell. He crumpled up the water bottle.
Yeah, it's like, to me, it's like he had a beer can, he just finished drinking it, and he tried to crumple it up like that. It felt like he was trying to crumple Krabbenhoff's face.
Like, he was going for like the collar grab, you know, but he just was a little early on the grab.
Like, I feel like he didn't have collar. A plan. I feel like it. I think,
well, I don't think
mid,
he did either. He
in
obviously
mid throw,
wasn't
I think
thinking.
He caught a snap. I think he caught a snap instantaneously and said, I can't punch. Let's open the hand. Let's grab. Stuff like that.
At the end of the day, though, Lance, like, he is, A, like you said, there's history there.
Yeah.
B, you're the head coach.
Right.
You're the head coach. Like, you know what else is really hard and stressful? Marriage. You know what you can't do? Hit your wife.
Lance. Right.
Yeah. Yeah. So, you know what else is really stressful? Class. You know what you can't do is hit your teacher. Your teacher can't hit, you know, like, I coach Little League sometimes. I got this little 9-year-old. He drives me insane. I want to punch him in the face, but I can't.
Coaches have been fired over putting hands on players before.
Yes.
And some have
and
been
we live in a
suspended.
Time right now where that is right. Like, I that's why I was blown away. I was blown away.
You have to keep the same energy. Like, let's keep a consistency here. If you're not okay with one, you can't be okay with the other. It's not okay. What the Big Ten did was right. I don't think, for me, I wouldn't have fired Juwan Howard, but this is now, he's got a couple of marks against him. He had an issue where he went on the court against Michigan State, one where he picked a live ball up off the court this year against Iowa. He said it was just a simple mistake. That kind of stuff is whatever, but Jalen Rose, who was his teammate at Michigan, had comments about this yesterday. I want you to listen to this.
There's going to be a lot of people who never liked him, that never liked us, that never liked me, that are going to now take this as an opportunity to slander him, to slander all of us. And here's what I'll say. He made a mistake. He made a bad decision. And I'm not speaking for him like Janet couldn't speak for Michael. I'm speaking for me. And here's what I got to say. I'm sorry and apologize that it happened, because I know his head. I know his heart. And I know what he's about and the kind of character that he has as a human being. And I know that that was a lapse of judgment. And through that, yes, he's going to get punished. But I think ultimately, as we move on and graduate, there are going to be people on both sides that look back at this scenario and realize what they could have done different, including Juwan, obviously.
Now, I agree with all that. The one part that I think he's overplaying a little bit, I think he's overstating. You got to remember, in our own little bubbles, we think things are sometimes bigger than they actually are. Personally, Eric, I don't think this was about, and you could hear it. He said, there are people who didn't like him. There are people who didn't like us. Us meaning
the Fab Five.
The Fab Five. Because there were people who didn't like the Fab Five at that time. I remember coming up watching them. There were a lot of people who didn't like Fab Five. That's fine. That was 30 years ago. And they said, there's going to be people who don't like me. Jalen is clearly living this through Juwan. He's making it more than it. This is really not about the Fab Five. Juwan has been an NBA player, a longtime NBA player. Juwan has been a coach for a while, an NCAA tournament coach. This is really just about Juwan Howard. And make it, there may be some people who come after and say stuff on Twitter. That is a tiny percentage of the people. This is not about the Fab Five. And I don't think it's about Juwan Howard or Jalen Rose. I think it's just you got to be able to have a disagreement without reaching out and making it physical. That's really all it is. Greg Gard didn't need to grab him when he didn't want to talk through the line. They had their little unwritten rule thing where timeouts and pressing and all that. That's for them to figure out. But the concern is not even Juwan. It's that his players immediately, that was the green light for Wisconsin had one player and Michigan had two to start throwing punches. And those three players were also suspended. That's the one that is a little bit of a concern.
Okay. Well, first of all, dear Jalen Rose, You're so cute. Nobody remembers the Fab Five that is younger than 40.
That's
so
true.
Nobody, I know that you think this is about you. It is not. Nobody, like, people that are under the age of 30,
I never thought of Jalen Rose.
People that are under the age of 30 think that Jalen Rose is on a television called Jalen and Jacoby. They have no idea that he played basketball for the Fab Five unless Jalen talks about it on his show. So, is that is, and you want to make it about you, Jalen. It's not, sweetheart. It's not about you. It's not about the Fab Five. Maybe there's a Michigan State fan trolled your Twitter account, and he's like, yeah, anti-Fab Five, and he's 55, and he went to Michigan State. That's what we call an outlier, but this has nothing to do with that. But the fact that you now have the head coach of a team, and again, I cancel culture. I absolutely believe in second chances, rehabilitation, yada, yada. All I'm saying is that you've got the head coach of the team. The moment he does that, like you said, it gives license to all his players to go do that. You've now given license to your players to go fight their players. They're not going to sit on that bench. They're not going to not back you up. They're not going to not take that on.
Well, they got to back you want their coach. This is why Jalen. So before we go any further, I want to make sure that I have. Here's what Juwan Howard said. And I actually don't think this is just crafted PR. I think this is his actual statement. Juwan Howard said, after taking time to reflect on all that happened, I realize how unacceptable both my actions and my words were and how they affected so many. I'm truly sorry. I'm offering my sincerest apologies to my players and their families, my staff, my family, and the Michigan fans around the world. I'd like to personally apologize to Wisconsin assistant coach Joel Krabenhoff and his family, too. Lastly, I speak a lot about being a Michigan man and representing the university with class and pride. I did not do that, nor did I set the right example in the right way for my student-athletes. I'll learn from my mistake, and this mistake will never happen again. No excuses. Now, do I think he felt pressure to do that? I mean, maybe, but I don't think it's mutually exclusive. I think he could feel the pressure and know that I should not have done that. Like, I've said things.
Of course.
I've said and done things in the past that I've gone back and doubled back and apologized to the wife or to my kids about. My dad did that with me. Like, I want to make sure that you're actually contrite. And this is anybody who knows that they did something wrong. And I think that he's legitimately contrite there, personally. I think he was. But there's still a punishment that has to happen.
I totally agree. I believe that. I think he is sincere in his apology. Yes, it's crafted by PR. You know,
you think it was? You don't think it was him?
No, I mean, I think I'm not saying he didn't believe those things, but I'm just saying, I mean, do I think he really apologized to the other coach's family? No, I don't think he really cares. I think he legitimately doesn't like the man. I think he sincerely does not like that man. Do I think that he apologized to his family and his players and his players' family for embarrassing himself? Yes. But while you can be apologetic and genuine and sincere in your apology, there are still, like you said, repercussions for doing something. You still have to be held accountable. And to me, a 5-game suspension and $40,000 doesn't seem like enough to make him contrite. Is it going to keep them out of the tournament? What are the real implications of 5 games for them?
Well, it's 40 G's, and the real implication, honestly, is that it could hurt them a little bit from a seeding standpoint down the road. I think it's just a warning shot across the – what is it called? Across the bow, across the bowel, whatever, that if this happens with it's less about – it is about Juwan Howard, but it's also about, hey, we want to make sure – we didn't think we had to do this, but we want to make sure you all know that anything like this is going to be met with some pretty serious – repercussions. You were talking about a suspension for the year. He was not getting fired for this, I don't think. Once again, if he landed a punch and the coach goes down, I do think he gets fired. I mean, I think he's gone.
To me, if you're sending a message, he's out for the remainder of the season. Like, that's that to me, tournament and all. He's out, not the regular season, because let's be honest, does the regular season matter in college basketball? I mean, what are we doing?
Yeah.
Like, you didn't even know college basketball was on until 3 weeks ago, or 2 weeks ago when the Super Bowl was over. I mean, it doesn't matter. So you got to take him out for the rest of the season if you really want to send a message.
That's Eric Layden. I'm Lance Erlein. We're going to break it right here, and we come back. We'll have a very short little segment here. And actually, you know what? Can we just pull the brakes together? It's going to be such a short break. We'll do this. Let's finish up with another topic. So Bruce Arians, this is one I did not get to yesterday that I think. So my buddy Rodney's listening. He said it was not a punch. It was open handed. That's what I was saying. It wasn't a punch. That's why I think if it was a punch, and it landed, I think he would have been suspended for the year or maybe fired. I know he was not. It was not. But you still, Rod, you still can't take and smack somebody with your open hand. You just can't do it. You're going to get suspended like he did. If he landed a punch, which it was, I am not calling it a punch. If he did, there would have been a little more hell to pay. So five games to me, I'm okay with it. You thought it should have been more. I'm okay with five games to me. Honestly, I thought it might be two. I wasn't sure what the suspension would look like. So, Bruce Arians, something is going on here. If you believe what Rich Ornberger, a former NFL player, is saying, here's what he came out and said, Eric. Rich Ornberger has a radio show, and he came out on Twitter and said this: "Heard some interesting things recently. The Tom Brady and Bruce Arians honeymoon was over in Tampa. The retirement announcement wasn't because of the trouble seeing eye to eye on the offensive game planning, but the relationship was souring. Apparently, while Arians was rehabbing the Achilles in the early mornings, offense coordinator Byron Leftwich and Brady would work on the week's game plan. Arians would later come in and take the red pen to work that they've done. The quarterback and offense coordinator felt undermined. There was tension." Now, I can tell you that
sounds
happened
like
with
Bill O'Brien.
Yeah, and I told you that. That happened with Bill O'Brien and Deshaun Watson and Tim Kelly. Tim Kelly and Deshaun would work on stuff, and then Bill O'Brien would come in and make changes. And Deshaun wasn't super crazy about some of the terminologies and things that he and Kelly had worked on had gotten changed from, you know, basically on Friday and Saturday. That's a little late to be making those kind of changes. I think this is really interesting because if it's true, and this is a former player saying this, if it is true, I texted Bruce Arians about getting him on the show when the word had broken that Tom was going to retire on that Saturday, and BA said, I'd love to come on, but I haven't heard if he retired, it's news to me. I haven't heard anything. He hadn't told anything to me. And so I didn't know if I was breaking something to Bruce Arians or not. But then later on that afternoon, he had another national quote that said he hadn't said anything to me. I start kind of putting the pieces together and start thinking, because, you know, I watch Bosch on Amazon Prime, so I'm kind of kind of detective-y a little bit, like
sure.
I can kind of put
amateur
some things together. And as I start putting this all together, I can see a world where maybe he wasn't really down with Bruce Arians and Bruce's ways, and maybe he wanted to get out of there, and maybe they're not super close. Now, Bruce Arians came back in an article with a local writer who
so that is such bull.
Yeah. Oh, well, man.
So
he's Bruce Arians was not having it. He was basically, his response was he denied that there was ever any kind of riff. He dropped some BSs on it. He dropped some F bombs. That would shock me. And he let us know in the time to do the free agency like we've done in the past. That's why I don't see it happening, him, you know, coming back. He said, it seems like there's one story every day now. Everybody's speculating he's going to be somewhere else. That don't bother me. That's some other bull bleep. The relationship thing, that's so far-fetched. Apparently, while Arians was okay, and then there's Rich Ornberg's comment. Bruce said, I mean,
that's Bruce Arians.
This is my character. I'm playing a character. I mean, that's such bull bleep. That's what pisses me off. I guess probably Byron would corroborate this too. So, first of all, I don't rehab my Achilles in the morning. I will go over the game plans and add things, but I don't delete anything. I don't have to because they do such a good job. I'll see some things, add some things. It's an awesome collaboration, baby. One of the best I've ever been around. He didn't say baby, but that's just me as an actor.
I'm
adding to
it
the
with
character
a little
bit. Yeah, with I'm this, just adding to the character a little
with
bit.
With this Rich Ornberger guy, take whatever he says with a massive grain of salt.
Okay.
Because he had that report, I think it was on the 18th. It was 4 days ago, about Patrick Mahomes having a sit-down meeting with his brother and his wife about your antics are ruining my reputation.
Oh, that's right. And then he came back and said
– he said ultimately concluded with Mahomes asking them to not attend any games this upcoming season. Then this dude comes out and tweets again. What was it? It was like 3 hours later. I can't substantiate the information that I tweeted out earlier today regarding Mahomes and his family. The source I received this information from was posing as someone I trust. I will delete this tweet later today, along with the original thread. Please pass this along. Like,
has he deleted it yet?
This was a screenshot that I took. Like, just
but what could be happening? Reference. No. Now, here's two things. There, he may have gotten conned by somebody. John read a headline quote of Kevin Durant saying that Kevin Durant didn't like the fact that players today had to team up and they didn't do it like he did
back
in the day.
But that's on John for reading ball sack
sports. John got fooled by a sports group. I said, John, where do you have that? Doesn't sound right. He goes, it's a quote. It's right here. They had typed a quote over a picture of him. I said, who did that? He goes, this group called Ball Sack Sports. Oh, my God.
But I mean, how does
John got fooled by Ball Sack Sports?
Yeah, how does Orberger not? How do we not? You got to have some accountability, right, Rich? Rich O? I mean, if a guy poses as a source that you trust, and this information sounds like, that's kind of a big thing. I mean, do you not maybe go to one more source to corroborate that? Like, do you just throw it up there because you know it's going to get clicks, right? I mean, I'm with Tyler. Like, you got to take this guy with a grain of salt now. And his accountability is fractured. Like, you can't believe what he says, not after this. Right. But it's just like now in this world of clicks, right? It doesn't really matter. It doesn't matter. Like, nobody's
following
up. It's
out there now. Now it's out there. You don't even have to double check. Like, there should be penalties. If you intentionally put out bad information, I think the least of it should be a fine. I think it should go all the way up to taser. Where if you put out bad information and you knowingly put it out willfully that ended up doing damage to someone's reputation, I feel like they should be able to taser you. And I don't think for a long time, just a little like, you know what I mean? Because do you think you would ever do it again?
No, but I do. In all seriousness, I do think fines. Like, I think and I understand Freedom Press and this is probably could
but
never
do your
happen,
homework.
But do your homework. But what if old Rich O now got fined? What if they realized, like, okay, clickbait again? What if he got fined 10 grand, 15 grand?
For not.
Now all of a sudden he's going to second guess it, right?
Yeah. I mean, yeah, no, you have to. There has to be some level of accountability for. It's one thing to make an honest mistake, but at some point, new media, quote unquote, new media, which is, you know, that don't have the same journalistic standards that have been set. You just want to be first out. You want it's clickbait.
It's like this article that I sent you the other day where it talked about Finnish cross country skier suffers frozen penis during the race. Well, you read the article and I was all fired up. Like, oh my God, they probably had to cut it off. Like, what did they do? Do you have to take it in a Ziploc bag, like back to the hospital? No, all it was is like, my penis was like really cold. We had to warm it back up and it's actually happened before. And the dude placed like 28th. So it's like, you know, stop with that. Like, if you're gonna give me a headline like your penis froze off in a cross country race,
it needs to be
like,
real.
I mean, dude, I want it in a Ziploc bag, like being rushed to the hospital next to you, you know, because some, you know, like on the way to some hospital. Like, that's what I want.
Yeah,
it needs to be real.
Like,
yeah, like Mr. Miyagi slapping it and just putting his hands on it to warm it up. Like, that's not enough for me.
No, that's actually a me too now. 8:59 here on the bench. I want to tell you about Gulf Coast Chef. Mr. Miyagi can't do this and rub his hands and do that. He cannot wax on and wax off me, not unless I give him permission. Not,
that's true.
That's going to be 22 civil suits and Rusty Harden's involved. I want to tell you about Gulf Coast Chevy Buick GMC. Craig the Surf is my man. That's my homie right there. He's out in Angleton. It's a little bit of a trip, 42 minutes. I can tell you this. I saved $41 a month on the lease when I went with those guys. may not seem like a big deal until you run through the 39-month lease and you realize, oh, that's really adding up. Yeah, it really adds up. And the same thing can add up for you. They give you more trade-in value on your vehicle. But, you know, with your 0% financing you get on your Chevy Silverado pickup trucks, the 2022, or your GMC Sierra 1500 crew cab, when you are getting this amount of financing available and you get the 0% on top of the great trade-in value that they're giving you anyway, and I mean, it's substantial right now, and the dealer cashback incentives that they have, there's never been a better time to take advantage of it. Now, they will never go above MSRP ever. Other companies are taking advantage of you with supply and demand. That's not the way my people roll over at Gulf Coast Chevy Buick GMC. In Angleton, they are waiting for you. Go to LanceZCars.com.
This is Jose Altuve, Alessandro and MVP. If you need a new vehicle, get down to Gulf Coast Chevrolet Buick GMC. Chevy, find new roads.